Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the kitchen. This is the Monday Night Sports Wrap-Up. We got you for the next 60 minutes or more. Sports City, y'all stay focused, man. It's a big Monday night. A lot of stuff that just happened yesterday. And oh, yes, those laces are up on a wall. I done took off this blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped aside. The kitchen timeless is alive. Sports City, welcome to the wrap-up. Okay. Sports City, I can have bangs of that type of stuff all day long. The call-in number is 917-889-9592. Like I said, you got the next 60 minutes or more locked and loaded with Sports City. Y'all could have been anywhere else in the world, but y'all are here with the chefs. Man, oh, man. Now we sat in this kitchen just yesterday speculating, rumor mill, so on and so forth, and I'm not even going to put too much of that dish out, man. I'm going to let people spoon-feed themselves or fork-feed or grab it by the hand, whatever they need to do. We got a lot of food for thought, that's for sure. And some big news that needs to be addressed. My big brother woke me up to the situation, and I am going to touch it. I am going to talk about it, and I am going to put that to plate. Again, the call number is 917-889-9592, sportscitychef.com. That is the website. Y'all stay focused. Calling in by way of the state of Michigan, the New Yorker himself, the Brooklynite, Nostradamus, a.k.a. Mr. Knight. Welcome to the wrap-up. How are you feeling this evening?
There's a lot of stupid people on Twitter today.
I asked how you felt. I want to know how you're doing, man. I'm asking about
this. I'm in pain as usual, and I feel like there's a lot of stupid people on Twitter.
Okay, well, we'll try to get you out of that pain. I don't want you hurting in the kitchen, man. I was taught food is for the soul, so I got to not only give them food for thought, but I got to ease the soul, if you will, sports too. So let's start it up first. I got people in the call with you. Y'all know what to do to get in here, to get focused with the chefs. Chill, I'll let you start it up first because you did wake me up to the situation. I want to get your standpoints on Maria Sharapova. Now, not only is it a different sporting venue, not only is it a woman's sport, and her being one of the top names in the sport, even though you have names that are probably ranked higher than her, but she's at least ranked top 10 in the tennis network, if you will. Your thoughts on the severity of this the drug test situation in the Aussie tournament, and also the turnaround that she may get negatively and positively from this, if there is turnaround in a positive nature.
Well, I don't see nothing positive for her. Come on, first of all, she's always been ranked when she shouldn't be. She's always been considered some great player, and she ain't won a doggone thing. You know, oh, she's a rival for Serena. You know, Serena Williams has been accused of doping and all this other nonsense. Her entire career, ain't never failed the test. Maria Sharapova, for 10 years, has been taking a drug that people use to treat heart issues. Last I checked, she ain't got no heart issues. Last I checked. Unless she suddenly developed one. So for the past 10 years, she's been cheating. She's been cheating for 10 years and finally got caught. You know, you got people like Jennifer Capriati talking about her. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, and I'm just saying what Capriati said. She didn't have a high-priced team of doctors that found a way for her to cheat. You know, didn't Then you got people, of all people, Martina Navratilova was trying to defend her. Oh, we need her. She came clean. She didn't come clean. She got caught. She didn't come clean. She got caught. She got caught. So I want to know where all the people are that have become that to Serena. Where are you now? Where? Why aren't we trying to hang her, you know, hang her by her ankles in Times Square? If she's been cheating for 10 years. She should be banned for life. Period. End of story. I don't want to hear nothing else about Maria Sharapova. I want to hear about her coming clean and, oh, she did it. You got to respect the fact that she. No. She got caught. She's been cheating for 10 years. She should never be allowed to play tennis again.
Okay, so obviously this is the nature of what Sharapova is going to have to face for the next however long of the suspension duration or how long they investigate into this ordeal that she has going on. But I don't know. If they actually let her get back on tour and see how she does, do you think she could get back up into a pinnacle where she could end up pinning some of these girls and winning tournaments, or would she still be a notable name in the sport, go as high as a semifinal or final? I won't even say that she doesn't get to finals and seek the championship, but she, you know, she doesn't have a real high percentage on winning tournaments. So do you think this could actually be a drive or a push for her, or do you think it's too late in the game that she could actually re-spark her career?
I don't think she ever had a career. The bottom line for me is because she was blonde and pretty, they tried to make something out of her. Period. That's why they're trying to make something out of her. So, yeah, they're going to try to defend her so they can keep her there. But as far as I'm concerned, she's never been a top 10 player. You know, she's never been on the level of Serena or Venus. But, yeah, they're going to people are going to come out, they're going to defend her, and they're going to try to repair her image. You already got people, oh, well, it was so honest of her and this and that. As far as I'm concerned, when she comes back, she's going to be the same player she always was. Somebody that was jealous of the Williams sisters and a cheater. But that's not what you'll hear. What you'll hear is some kind of cockamamie redemption story, which is a bunch of crap.
Okay. Anything else around the Sharapova topic before we get away from it? Because I know this is big. And for it to be in a different sport, bigger than the big, at least I call it the big three, being baseball, basketball, football, knowing that her name is a big name, in sports, and for her to get busted, I don't know how big of a light they shine on her or a magnifying glass they put on it at the end of the day. But Maria Sharapova's name is big. I do agree with you. She doesn't bring, you know, championships or titles home in those tournaments. But, I mean, there's a lot of names that actually get glossed over when they get caught out there, like the Lance Armstrong situation when he was winning his championships. Now you have Sharapova in the same situation and Landis in the same Tour de France, that cycling situation, they get glossed over. I'm just wondering if this is going to be another situation where it's swept under the rug or not. Anything else before we do get away from it?
I just want to know. I want to know. You know what? If this was Serena, I guarantee it wouldn't get glossed over. I guarantee that.
That's tough because I think that they're waiting for one of the Williams sisters to mess up or get caught up in a scheme or just have some type of competitive edge. But, you know, Venus has a hell of a reach and can cover the court well. And Serena, I mean, outside of what us men gawk at, is a physical specimen when she's playing on the court. I mean, everybody talks about how thick her thighs and areas should be. But that's a lot of where her drive comes from anyway. We're in awe of the body, but what she presents on the tennis court, a lot of those girls can't handle what Serena's out there. And she almost had a calendar slam. She already had the Serena slam. She almost had the calendar slam. But I don't even want it to be, you know, apples and oranges. And Serena hasn't done anything bad up until this point, but curse a judge out and say that she was going to shove a ball down the throat. I mean, that's the competitive nature, and I like that. You know, that's the drive in all of us. But as long as Serena stays clean, I don't even want to drive home a topic that isn't there. We do have a caller in the queue. I'll get in here. I don't know if they want to talk about this or to get moving into something else. Calling out of the 203, Chef Mikey D. Welcome to the Wrap-Up. How are you feeling this evening?
Good evening, Ty. Good evening, Chandler. How are you guys doing?
What's up, Mike?
I never heard him referred to as Arias before, though, Ty. That's a new one for me.
I don't want to sound too racy. You know what I'm saying? Like I don't want to sound too racy. You know what I mean? And then they'd be like,
I just never heard that analogy, but that's a new one.
Is it good or no? Should I try something else?
I thought it was fair. It was fair. It was definitely fair.
There we go. Hey, if I say something different, then they'll come at me. Hey. Okay. So your thoughts on the topic at hand, or is it something that you're overlooking? I mean, Sharapova getting caught recently in a bus in the Australia tournament.
You know, Ty, to be honest with you, I mean, she's been taking this drug, they say, for 10 years. And this is the first year that they banned this drug. So, I mean, it's tough to say. I'm tired of everyone killing people that take performance-enhancing drugs. To be honest with you, you haven't seen anyone die or get hurt from them. A lot of times it's due to players that want to recover, whatever, what sport it is. And I'm just tired of the argument. I mean, guess what? If players aren't abusing these drugs or whatever you want to call them, and it's, you know, helping their body, I really don't have a problem with it in any sport, to be honest with you. I mean, that's just me. But there aren't enough cases out there where you say, wow, by them taking this, it's really harmed their body or shortened their life. I mean, you can go back to Lyle Alzado, but Lyle Alzado was a whole different animal, what he was taking compared to what these people are taking today. You know, and I really don't have a problem with it. I mean, I don't know if everybody else does. I don't consider it cheating. If somebody can take something that helps you get better, or helps you recover quicker, I don't have a problem with people taking that kind of stuff. I mean, everyone takes something. I mean, whether it's aspirin if you got a headache or whatever it is. So, I mean, to me, it's not a big deal. If it was Serena, the only reason they come after Serena is because of all of the Grand Slam titles that she has. Maria Sharapova isn't even close to that level. So I don't really think it's that big of a deal. But, you know, we'll see where the media takes it.
Okay, well, let's go to a whole different sport, Mike. Let me take it to a whole different sport. And I know you love this sport just as much as I do, right? Let's go to baseball, right?
Yeah.
Ken Griffey Jr. left Seattle, and once he ran into the wall, I think it was his wrist and his ankle, right? When he went to that wall in Seattle for that catch, I think it was his wrist and his ankle, right?
Yeah.
Now, picture if he's using PEDs to bounce back when he went to Cincinnati. And
right, that's why
we
don't have a problem with it, Ty.
He didn't.
Right, I agree. Kenny Griffey Jr. is the best baseball player besides Barry Bonds that I've ever seen. So, I mean, I agree. I mean, I, honestly, I don't really have a problem with it if you're not abusing it. Do I think it makes you hit the ball farther? No. I think, honestly, I've been a high school coach for a lot of years. I think steroids is more prevalent in football than baseball, but for some reason, baseball has to take it on the chin all the time. I mean, if I took steroids, that doesn't mean I can hit 40 home runs. I don't think that's going to make a difference, but baseball is a grueling sport. These guys play 162 games a year. You know, it's tough on their bodies, and, you know, if you could take something that can make you get out there and play the next day, I'm not against it. I don't care about the record books. I don't care about the home run record. I care about seeing the best players play. And if there's something out there that makes these guys better, I am not opposed to them taking it.
Okay. Chandler, anything that you'd like to say? Or I do have another
question. Like I said, my issue with this is because they're going after Serena Williams for every possible little thing. She's been accused of doing this forever. And these same media people are now making excuses for Sharapova. That is my problem with it. I don't give a damn what Maria Sharapova does. She's not that important in tennis to me. But they keep shoving her down my throat every time I watch tennis. They keep telling me she's some great champion when she ain't won a damn thing. Okay? And the true champion, Serena Williams, you've slandered at every opportunity, but now you have somebody who was actually caught, and now all of a sudden it's not a big deal. That's my problem with it.
I mean,
Ty, but I want to ask Chandler a question. Chandler, what's your opinion of PEDs in baseball?
I didn't give a damn. The only reason my problem with PEDs in baseball is the same thing. They decided to pick and choose who they want to vilify. That's my problem with it. If you're going to vilify, then you got to kill everybody. You know, Andy Pettit got a pass, Alex Rodriguez didn't. David Ortiz got a pass, Roger Clemens didn't. That's my problem with it. If you, listen, if you use it, then use it. I don't care. Because like you, I don't really, you know, those numbers aren't sacred to me like that. My whole problem with this entire conversation is we're picking and choosing who we want to vilify. If it's cheating, it's cheating for everybody. If it's not cheating for one, then it's not cheating for all. Can't have it both ways. That's been my problem the entire time. If we want to say somebody's a cheater and they should be banned, then everybody that cheated should be banned. And that's not what's happening. What's happening is we want to pick and choose who we want to be negative towards.
You know, my biggest problem is, how come when it comes to football players taking steroids, you know, I feel like it gets pushed under the rug. I mean, unless it's the quarterback taking it, no one really cares if an offensive lineman's doing it or a defensive lineman's doing it. I mean, like I said, I coach high school sports. The kids were doing it to play football, not to play baseball. Let's be honest. I mean,
these guys are bigger
and stronger than ever, and somehow football just gets a free pass when it comes to steroids, and baseball gets annihilated.
Right. Right, and that's my whole point, is we're picking and choosing who we're going to say is a bad guy for using this stuff. Every other day in football, somebody gets suspended for four games. Every other day, somebody gets suspended four games for using PEDs. Oh, they'll be back in four games, no big deal. You know, because football players, what, they're not viewed as human beings. They're viewed as animals. If you really look at it, they're viewed as animals. You know, you sit them up there on an auction block, you check their teeth and gums, you squeeze their thighs and hamstrings, you turn around and say, look at that backside. You're going to put in some good work. They're like animals.
And you don't even give them guaranteed contracts on top of it.
Exactly. So who cares if they're using something that could kill them? They don't matter. They're not important. You know, but let's pay attention to this baseball player over here. It's the hypocrisy of it is mind-boggling to me. The sheer hypocrisy of all of it is mind-boggling.
And I think a lot of it has to do with being a first ballot. It's the Hall of Fame. These Hall of Fame baseball writers are the ones that started.
Yep, because they now have to acknowledge the fact that all of this stuff they told us was so important really ain't that important. Because that was how baseball writers felt special. You know, they felt like they held power. I can get you in the Hall of Fame or I can keep you out. But now when you find out that everybody's doing it, oh, you don't have any power because this guy's going to get his records and be famous whether you want him to or not. Oh, we can't have that. I must have my powerful media hammer, so let's beat on baseball players. But we don't care about the football players. They don't matter. They'll be dead soon after they finish playing anyway.
And this actually spills into a whole other topic that I know we could probably carry into. And I might want to go there. I'm not even going to address it like I don't want to go there because I love to. I'll say it, and then I'll get to it right after I get the caller in. But I'm going to say this. Let's just look at it baseball-wise. You got David Ortiz and Alex Rodriguez still playing ball. Both of them are looking like they're at the end of their careers, which A-Rod, I don't know if he looks like he's slowing down or when he will give it up. I say A-Rod has fair 2 to 3 seasons left. I really want to say that, but I don't know if he's, you know, sticking around just to catch Barry Bonds' record or what have you, but this is the last season for at least Big Poppy. Now, they are holding out every other player that has been accused or, you know, caught out there using a PED, performance-enhancing drug. To A-Rod, or does at least Alex Rodriguez, even if you don't think Big Poppy deserves to get in the Hall, does A-Rod get into the Hall of Fame? Chairman, I'll let you go first.
No, the media's going to make sure Alex doesn't get in the Hall of Fame. Alex is not getting in.
Okay. Mikey D, and then I'll get to the person in queue.
I mean, he's the poster child for this. I mean, there's no shot of him getting into the Hall of Fame. They have ruined this man. Ruined him. Unjustly, in my opinion. I mean, you got middle relievers doing this. I mean, it's just a joke. And I have to give baseball a little bit of credit because they have taken strides to clean up the game. So the players' union is part of the problem. I mean, it's whatever's collectively bargained. And when it comes down to baseball, the baseball players' union is the mafia. Nothing gets through. So this was a battle between the owners and the players' union that actually the owners ended up winning. And, I mean, I watched plenty of baseball. Are you going to sit here and tell me that Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens are not Hall of Famers because a baseball writer tells me that? I watched the game with A-Rod. You're going to tell me these guys don't belong in the Hall of Fame? Then you haven't been watching baseball, in my opinion. These guys are, no doubt about it, the best at their time. Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa, all of them, they deserve to be in. It's a joke of what they're doing to these guys. It's a joke. Who cares about the home run record? Guess what? If you took steroids or not, people are still coming to the ballpark to see those records broken. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. And for them to chastise Alex Rodriguez when you know that every starting pitcher and middle reliever was doing it, that he had a faith, to me is an absolute joke. A-Rod, to me, is a no-doubt Hall of Famer, but he'll never get in.
Okay, we have Mr. Silver here. Welcome to the Rapper Power. How are you feeling this evening?
Feeling pretty good. It's a beautiful day out here in Arizona. How y'all gentlemen feeling?
Doing all right. Your thoughts on the topic at hand right now?
I just can agree with everything that they're saying. I don't have too much really to add that's different from what these guys are saying. The discrimination of who you pick and choose, the way baseball does their business, the way football doesn't care. And all of it's pretty much, you know, the same thing. So just to repeat it would be redundant right now.
I have one question for the panel. Guys, Ty, and I think this is important. Do you guys think that Tiger Woods was on steroids?
Not initially, no, but I think that in some of his recuperation, I think they gave him stuff to help him. I think it was prescribed medically. But, yeah, I think he had to because some of the injuries that he had, some of the treatments involved corticosteroids. So, yes, he had to. Well, you know what I'm saying? It's kind of silly to think that he wasn't prescribed some of those things to help him heal.
Do you think there's any thought that possibly the reason why he left the game and everything that he did is because he was doing them and they started testing stronger at that time?
I don't think so. I think that his body just kept breaking down on him. I think he's going to be back. I think he's just giving his body time to heal. But I think because of when you looked at his natural ability, the torque he put on his body, the way he used to swing, that leg injury was just waiting to happen. They talk about that all the time, is that his knees and his back were going to give out because of the force of his swing. But, no, I honestly think he's just finally giving his body time to rest. I don't think the testing had anything to do with it because I'm pretty sure he was one of the first guys getting tested all the time.
No, I don't think so because you know what that would do to the game of golf if they ever caught Tiger Woods at that time? It would have been a mess. It would have been bigger than A-Rod. They would have made him the poster boy, and it would have been awful for the game of golf.
No, I don't know about that for the game of golf. I mean, realistically, that's what they wanted. That's what they want to do. They want to vilify the non, you know, light pigmented players. It doesn't matter if it's black or Cuban or Hispanic or whatever. To be honest, all across the board, it wouldn't have killed the sport as much as I think you're making out to be. Would have killed Woods' career? Would he have been the poster child? Oh, of course. You know, I agree with that 100%. But the sport itself, you know, it wouldn't have been Phil. And it wouldn't have been another white guy. So I don't think it would have killed the sport.
I think in several different ways. I think one, if they ever caught Tiger, trying their best to keep him off, of course. But two, 50% of me says yes, 50% of me says no. 50% is like you would have seen like some type of gain in his size or something. Like you didn't see, you know, any significant gain in Tiger. Like it was the same, you know, frame of, you know, Tiger Woods. But the other 50% is after that car accident happened on that Thanksgiving weekend and whatever happened between him and Ellen, his wife, so on and so forth, you know, and I think that was literally the fall of his career. But it was like Chandler said, his body was breaking down in several different places, especially in his legs and in his back. They say, and you know, one of my favorite players in basketball all the time, even though I didn't like the team that he played for, but I always loved him, Larry Johnson, always said that the back muscle is the hardest thing to heal. And watching Larry Johnson go through it, another player that I love with all my heart but didn't like the teams he played for, Rasheed Wallace, his back started to go, never healed right. Tracy McGrady, another player that I love to see play ball. Back went on him and never healed the same way. But not saying that any of those guys used steroids or anything, but their backs, you know, left them. Now, we have Tiger Woods in a situation where I think there's less of a physical demand on his back because those guys are jumping and coming down on that back. And I think, well, I know that they're carrying more weight on an average day base than Tiger Woods is. I don't know how Tiger will get back and at least be able to win some of these majors to try and threaten, you know, Jack Nicklaus and I think it's Snead, right, if I'm not mistaken, that is ahead of him. But yeah, I think it's a hard road, and he's going to be – what, did he turn 40 this year? I think he turns 40 this year if he didn't just turn 40 in the past December. But that's the other 50%. I really think that all of these situations that broke down on Tiger – It could draw me to say that he might have, because these are interesting areas of you know, injury that he's having, you know, while he's trying to climb his way back into the courses or back to the tour, if you will.
I honestly think that the whole situation with Tiger, I don't think he ever used them when it pertains to using it to gain an advantage after the fact. Now, Chandler hits it on the head. Did he get cortisone steroids and rehab and things of that nature? Most presumably, yes. But using it on a regular team basis, even after the injury, I know he's been in between injuries, but using it in between injuries and continue to use, you know, giving him a competitive, I don't think so. I think the W's and the tournament ones would have continued. For me, it's always been we jumped to Tiger, but for me, for Tiger, it's always been that faithful Thanksgiving. That to me in golf, it's all about routine. And when in your daily life and in your golf life, to me, he had it such a routine. Whether you know you want to agree with his lifestyle or not, the outside women and his home life, he had it so routinely set that I think the destruction of his personal life carried over into his golf world. And I think that just really, you know, he's never really been able to find the right niche or same kind of routine that he was in. I'm not saying that he needs to be cheating, but I'm just saying the same type of stability in routine, moving, the kids don't stay with him. So it's just all those personal things that you deal with every day, you know, and now half of it's gone half the time, and, you know, you're losing money and you're going through divorce and you have girlfriends and you don't have girlfriends. And so I think all of that just really, you know, stems in into his psyche and things of that nature. So I don't personally believe that at any time that he used steroids to try to gain a personal advantage, because I think with the skill that he had, if he did, you know, he would have surpassed Nicklaus by multiple by now.
See, I think that in the beginning of his career, Mikey, they wouldn't have wanted to catch him. But it got to a point where he was getting close to that record, and then you started hearing all of a sudden how terrible a person he was and all this other stuff, you know. And that's where I think they would have loved to catch him, because you saw what happened. Once he had that once everything went down with his wife, I mean, they ripped this man to shreds. And we all know most of them golfers is out there cheating, got girlfriends and everything else. You got Dustin Johnson doing coke in between shots. You know what I'm saying? And nobody else don't matter. But Tiger wasn't faithful. Oh, my God. Tiger's not faithful. Come on, man. So I think you're right on one hand, and then I think – but like I said, once he started getting real close to that record, they started looking for anything to tear him down, and he gave it to him with his personal life. So I think if he had been using it, they would have loved to have caught him, because then they could have took all those wins away.
Because that – him breaking that record – that is just more money for golf. I don't think it's a black and white thing. I think Tiger Woods is the most marketable athlete to ever play any sport. I mean, he's black, he's white, he's Asian. He plays a predominantly white game that he's transformed the game. He put so much interest in so many different races into the game. I think he means more than it's not a black and white thing for me in golf when it comes to Tiger Woods. He's the one that got them all the money. He's the bell cow. So I don't think the record had anything to do with it. I think I still think they want him to break the record. If he comes back tomorrow and he's the old Tiger Woods, it's gonna be bigger than ever. He'll be bigger than ever.
See, the tour itself wants him there. I'm talking about the media. We're talking about two different entities. The media wanted to destroy this cat. The tour, absolutely wants him to break the record because he's making the money. But the media that covers golf, oh, they were trying to take, they were trying to destroy this man from like damn near from day one. So we talk to two different entities. You know what I'm saying? The PGA Tour and USGA and all of them, oh, good God, they get a music man. Pray for the old Tiger to come back. Okay.
Oh. So do I.
But the media, oh, the media loves the fact that this man is fallen. So when I say they, I'm speaking media, not so much the tour, is what I'm talking about.
Okay. And I knew this would carry in a different way, and I like that because I kind of wanted it to. Now, I do want to talk a little NFL.
Oh, God.
And I'm going to start up like this, people. I'm going to give you a curveball since we left baseball. I'm throwing a curveball. interesting enough, I love comedy. I love to laugh. I'm funny. You know, well, I at least think I'm semi-funny. But so what? Interesting thing going on with Cat Williams and Kevin Hart stuff going on in the city of Philadelphia, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
Now all of a sudden, Doug Peterson, the new head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles, is cleaning house even more than what Chip Kelly did. Now, I'm not going to lie. I mean, they remade the song. Their name is, the group was called Boys and Men. They made up a song. It's called It's So Hard to Say Goodbye. But what the heck is going on in Philly? Like, okay, so now as of today, they get rid of Kiko Alonso and Byron Maxwell, both of which are heading to Miami, which Kiko Alonso is now on his third team in, what, two seasons, if I'm not mistaken? And the same thing for Maxwell also. You have Maxwell, which Maxwell was giving the money, but he hasn't really panned out since he's left Seattle. Going to Miami, where it looks like Miami's trying to set up for an interesting defense, but that's if Kiko can stay healthy. Now, it gets even more interesting. People get even more interesting. After all of this is happening on the defensive side of the ball, you watch them get rid of Riley Cooper or release Riley Cooper. Now, breaking news, as of this hour, they're getting rid of DeMarco Murray. It's sending DeMarco to Tennessee. Now, this is crazy. This is within this hour. Now, I don't know. Now I've seen crazier things happen. It might be both of them been around me for a while now. Both of them have been around me for a while. And then I'm going to talk from my perspective. And I'll let these dudes eat as much as they need to eat. But I'm going to talk from Timeless's perspective. I've been in this kitchen. I've been in front of Mikey D. I've been in front of Chandler. And having, you know, several conversations to talk about, you know, well, they breaking this team up. I don't know how they're going to look next year. They doing this to the team. I don't know how they're going to look next year. I'm saying it right now. And I feel like I'm putting myself out there on the plank. I don't know how the hell the Philadelphia Eagles are going to look next year. You already have an interesting situation happening at quarterback. You got Sam Bradford here that's going to have to pick up this system from Peterson, which is all of the pieces aren't really intact right now. You have a running back that used to run with Bradford in college, came to the pros. He looked at Bradford like, who the hell are you? You got rid of him. This backfield is now Sproles and Matthews. Sproles is what, 5'3"? In cleats, he's 5'4". What are you going to do in short yardage? And I love to, like, give the mic to Chandler for 2 seconds, let him answer it, and give it right back to me. But Ryan Matthews, I mean, you give me a season when he's played 16 games. Give me one season when he's played 16 games. And you mean to tell me that you get rid of DeMarco Murray, even though he didn't do nothing this year. He didn't do nothing this year by the standards of what he did the year before at Dallas. But you get him there for 1 year, get ready, you move him. Kiko Alonso, you bring him in there from Buffalo. He hasn't even given you a healthy season yet either. You get rid of him. You get rid of DeMarco Ryan, too. Don't forget about this now. DeMarco Ryan, too, is a part of this. He's gone. Now you get rid of Maxwell. Okay, one, it's not even like Philly had a definite defense. Like, their defense wasn't stopping nobody. Nobody in the NFC East, which we actually had debate here saying that was one of the worst defenses, I mean, divisions, excuse me, not defenses, one of the worst divisions in football, and their offense was questionable. They don't have anything right now. I'm putting myself out there on a plank myself, and I could be wrong. I could probably be right here November 2016 and say, you know what? In March, I was like, I don't know what Philly going to do. I really feel like that, but I feel comfortable in saying they just watched LeSean McCoy leave. They just watched DeSean Jackson go, and you are still moving players and think this is for a successful tomorrow for the Philadelphia Eagles. I'm setting the table. I want to see how you guys eat on this one. Chandler, I'll go to you first. Maybe you're going last. But, Chandler, your thoughts on what the hell is going on in Philadelphia?
Oh, and just to let you know, Ryan Matthews is available as well. Ryan Matthews is out there. He's on the trading block, too.
So it's just Sproles now, right?
Hold on. But see, here's the thing. I love what they're doing. The offense that Doug Peterson is going to run doesn't fit the guys that he has. So rather than try to put square pegs around holes, they're like, okay, you can go, and you can go, and you get a trade, and you get a trade, and you get a trade. Everybody get a trade. They got Oprah running their damn organization. Okay, let me see. I like the fact that he's doing it. If these guys don't fit, get them out of there. Get guys that fit your system. You forget, Matt Forte is on the open market. Arian Foster is on the open market. Doug Martin is on the open market. These guys fit what you're trying to do. They fit what you're trying to do. So I understand what they're doing. Brian Maxwell, come on, man. He ain't worth that type of money corner. Get him out of there. He can't cover me. He can't cover me, and I got to take 7 pills just to stand up. Okay?
Okay.
I'm taking all kinds of drugs just so I can walk each day. This cat can't cover me. I'm not paying you. You got to go. Kiko Alonso, you can't stay healthy. If the Miami Dolphins are stupid enough to trade and depend on a guy that can't stay healthy because he's going to tear his knee up 3 games into the season again, you want him? Here you go. I understand what they're doing. It seems like it doesn't make sense, but it really does if you think about it. You get rid of Matthews and Murray. You keep Sproles, and you bring in, say, a Matt Forte. Because you're running this – look at the Kansas City offense. Who's their running back? Jamaal Charles. What's Matt Forte like? He's like a Jamaal Charles. You understand what I'm saying? Or he's like a LeSean McCoy, who they had and got rid of. Or, so it makes sense if you take the long view. If you take the long view, what they are doing makes perfect sense. And it's actually smart for a change, what they're doing in Philly. I know people are saying, you ain't got this, you ain't got that. Yeah, they don't. But it didn't work with those guys. You already know they don't fit the offense you're going to run. Why keep them?
Now, before I get to the caller in queue, right, is this a project or is this turnaround now?
It's half and half. They're trying to rebuild on the fly. And keep in mind, it's the NFC East. So, you know what I'm saying, you could go 8-8 still win the division. So it's not like they got to do a whole lot to win their division. So I'm going to say this is a rebuild on the fly.
Right now, too. Okay, interesting. You still put, because I know they're going to come and ask you some questions. Calling from California, we have Tom in the building. Tom, welcome to the wrap-up. How are you feeling this evening?
I'm doing good, guys. How's everything going with you?
Doing all right. Your thoughts on the situation at hand?
So, I'm actually with Chandler. I think this is – look, I think that here's the real key. That Byron Maxwell contract was bad. That DeMarco Murray contract was bad. The Kiko Alonso piece, I maybe would have held on to him for another year because his contract's decent. I think he was hurt last year and he had some upside. But the key to this is that they didn't have to cut DeMarco Murray and have his dead money on the cap. They didn't have to cut Byron Maxwell and have his dead money on the cap. They saw something that didn't work, and they got rid of these guys, their whole contract, meaning they got rid of them for pay. I mean, I don't know what their salary cap situation is now, but I would expect it to be quite nice because they must have a ton of money off now, and they got it off entirely. So, look, the one thing I think you said is that you know, I think the Eagles' defense was actually a little bit better than you give them credit for last year. I'm not saying they were great by any means. Their offense was a mess. Their offense was a mess.
Whoa. Better how? Better how? In what statistical situation?
They have some nice players. I mean, Fletcher Cox is very good. You know who was actually excellent that isn't a well-known name, and he got hurt at the end of last year? They've had a third-round pick last year named. I think it was Jordan Hicks. And that guy was potentially on his way to being defensive rookie of the year. He was unreal, and he got hurt, I think, game eight. But they're, you know, they have linebackers, Connor Barwin. Their defense, look, it was by no means dominant, but it was better last year than it was prior to that. And I think they have some young players that they're building off of. I don't hate these moves for the Eagles at all. I don't, if I'm an organization, I don't want to be stuck paying $12, $13 million a year to Murray. I think Maxwell's contract was, I mean, you were paying that guy the money if he – you're basically paying him Revis money. I mean, that was a horrible contract. The fact they were able to get out from that guy's contract without just cutting him and eating a bunch of money was incredible. Do I think they're going to be good next year? No, but I think they've accelerated their path to being good. And so for that, you know, they weren't going to win the Super Bowl next year, and now they have a better chance to be good in 2 years, 3 years. So I actually like the moves a lot.
Okay, now I'm actually pulling up their total defense, right? This is Philadelphia, right? Where do you think Philadelphia ranks in the league, total defense?
16?
30.
No, wait, but here's
and you have the nerve. 30. Wait, 30. And you have the nerve to sit there and say that they played decent defense. 30.
But timeout. Kelly also runs more plays than anyone in the league, so they were simply on the. They probably had more plays run against them than almost probably any other defense in the league because of Chip Kelly's offense. You do have to take that into account. I mean, you have to weight something in there because you can't just look at yards and things like that because obviously teams are going to put up more yards and more points against them because of Chip Kelly's offense moving so fast. The other team is going to run way more plays against the Eagles than they will against any other team. So you do have to take that into account. I don't think it's unfair to say that. And I'm not saying they're amazing, but I think if you weight that in, you'd look at them more in the 18-19 range than you would in the 30
listen, range. Listen, you say, tell me how you feel. They are giving up, right? 134-plus on the ground per game. 134-plus. They are giving up 267 yards plus in the air per game. Per game. They're giving up 400 yards total a game, and you're saying that? Okay. I call that quickness, too. Okay.
My argument is not that they're great. It's that they have some talent there, and I do think that you have to add in the Chip Kelly factor. I mean, those are inflated numbers of the amount of plays that get run against them.
Listen, on the worst team in the league, who was the worst team last year? Pick a team, Jacksonville, Indiana, Tennessee. They're an NFL player, they all got talent. Everybody in the league got talent. So I just can't remember their name was bigger now. You got to go out there and perform. They losing pieces. Who do they feel the void of DeMeco Ryans and Keiko Lago in the middle of the defense? They couldn't stop nobody. I feel like Bud Scott, they couldn't stop nobody. You see, I got to see Philadelphia firsthand and watching that whole defense break down player after player in that Thanksgiving game against Detroit. Calvin went off. After Calvin had a slow start to the season, went off. That defense looked terrible. I want to go around the kitchen. I want to keep it away from me and you just going back and forth. I want to keep away from okay. So, Master, your thoughts on the status of the Philadelphia Eagles with the parties that they have on both sides of the ball, not even just defensively, both sides of the ball. And do you see a promising tomorrow as a this year or, you know, in a year or so? Or do you think this is like a 2 to 4 year project? Your thoughts?
You know, I think the initial question is what this team's going to look like next year. You know, despite Tower of Power, you're still a young man in the locker room every day next year, because that's just pretty much what it's going to be, a locker room full of young people trying to learn a new offense and a new defense, whatever side you're on. Now, you think of Philly last year, offensively and defensively, bottom of the league. You know, I'm not going to put a statistical number on it. Watching Philly more than just once against my team, I watched them a few times. They're bad. But again, you know, the other things you have to consider, not just yards, that teams put on the ground, sacks and interceptions, and all those things go into consideration with the defense. And to me, there just wasn't enough of the others to alleviate the yardage. Now, when I say that is, you know, if you're giving up yards in chunks because your offense is scoring a lot, and by that you're getting a lot of sacks and you're also getting a lot of interceptions throughout the course of the year, you know, I can forgive giving up 400 yards a year, a game, to a defense if they're getting sacks, they're getting interceptions, and they're winning. The problem with Philly was none of that was happening. So in all, they were at the bottom of the league, in my opinion. What this does for me, I agree with Tom and Chandler that they're making some of the right moves as it pertains to freeing up cap space. They got nothing but draft picks from Miami, and they got a bunch. And with DeMarco Murray, it's probably going to be the same thing. So to me, this, you know, I'm not a Philly fan, but if I'm sitting there as a Philly fan, you know. And I'm an instant gratified person. I want my, you know, I want my instant Mac. I want everything done today. You're going to be highly dissatisfied with the product you see in 2016 and 2017. But if you are, you know, patience is a virtue type of fan, I believe if they are on the right process, they draft the right players that fit Peterson's system, and they can start moving it, then by 2018, I think this is a system, an offense and a defense that can, you know, thrive and win. Now, the caveat, or the one thing that does help this team, like Chandler mentioned, is they play in probably one of two of the worst divisions in the league. The NFC East, by all means, was the worst. Now, you said there were two teams with worse defense in the NFL than the Eagles. One of them was an NFC East team. I don't think that's a coincidence. That's that division. They just are the worst in the league. You know, when it comes to total teams and just, you know, win-loss record on the scoreboard. So next year, you know, 8-9-7, 8-8 could be a huge possibility to win this division. So I think with that, you get opportunities that if you're not the best over the next 2 years, you can make a run for the playoffs with the poor play that your division is going to produce over the next 2 years. You know, you don't know what Dallas has with their quarterback situation and if that's going to get fixed. You got a Giants team with two players, Odell and Eli, and you don't know anything else. And then, you know, you got the Washington Redskins that are tagging Kirk Cousins. So, you know, and then Philly doing what they're doing. So there is nothing that's dissuading me from saying this team can't make a playoff run within the next 2 years because of their division. But I do think this is something that the team is benefiting from right now, just because of the money that they're freeing up and the amount of draft picks that are going to be coming in from the Tennessee Titans, who have a very high draft pick right now. And also the Miami Dolphins, who have a pretty good draft pick, and you're going to get a few of those for two good players. So, you know, it's just to me, Philly's making the right steps to make their team better for the future. Of course, this isn't what fans want to hear. It's not going to be next year. But, again, this is a lowly division that 8-8 could win it. So you never know. You want to win the division and win the Super Bowl every year. But right now, this is, you know, freeing up cap space, getting draft picks, and making this team better instead of, like Chandler said, putting, you know, square pegs in round holes and doing the same thing over and over that's been getting you losses and losing. Now I think you can head in the right direction of winning. But to me, it's just going to be a very young team that's going to have chances to grow They're not going to be forced or try to fit into a system that I don't think they can fit into, because I think these guys will make the right decision and getting the right pieces with Chip Kelly gone.
Okay, now what is the Doug Peterson system? Nobody knows. He doesn't even have a
system.
He doesn't even have a system.
It's the Andy Reid system, Ty. Yeah, it's the same
system
that Andy Reid is running in Kansas City.
Okay, so you think he's coming in with the same mindset as Andy Reid to this Philadelphia organization?
Yes.
Okay. And we're talking about this defense here, right? Who on his defense, notably, outside of Connor Barwin, notably be a showstopper that's going to help this team? You're saying that they're picking this up on the fly. Hold on. I'm with you. You're saying that they're going to be picking this up on the fly, because you're saying that at least this year or next year, which would not just say 2-3 years. I mean, I like the ballpark that you guys give it. But who is the showstopper here?
You don't need a showstopper. They just need to be average. They just need to be average. If they're an average defense, they can win games. They can win the NFC East. You keep forgetting the division they're in. You keep forgetting that.
I don't think the system as a whole has better than what Dallas is presenting. Even you said last week that Dallas by default gets this division. By default.
Yes, based on where the Eagles were. Yes, but now if the Eagles make the right moves, and I know Mikey needs to get in here, but if they make the right moves, and listen, their defense plays almost three times as many snaps as any other defense. That means you're going to wear down. That means you're not going to be as good. If you cut them back down to them playing the same amount of snaps that the average team does, then that defense then becomes an average defense. And average defense in NFC East can win you 8 games.
Okay. And notably, knowing that Chandler and Mikey D are both from this area and both New York guys, Philadelphia's fan base is probably even keel or worse on being patient on their team. So the pressure is on. The pressure is on to get this out there.
And Ty, you know, I know Mike's trying to get in real quick.
Hold on. There's people, you chill. Mikey D, your thoughts, and this is that's why I saved you for laughing on this, Mikey
Funny.
D. I saved you for laughing because you are an NFC East guy. Now, I didn't mean to put your boys in the doghouse. You guys are ranked 32. I didn't mean to do that. But the status of the Eagles right now, moving interesting names. I mean, even though Maxwell did not ball since he was in the Eagle uniform, I want to say he hasn't balled since he left Seattle. Let me be real. Your thoughts on the status of this team? New coach. They're going to have a lot of youth coming in. Notable names I could think of. You know, I could give Fletcher Cox a little leg up. You could also go with Logan as well. Connor Barwin. I'm not sold on Jenkins. They attack him. In the passing game, and just like I said, they're giving up nearly 300 yards passing as of now. Yeah, your thoughts on this Eagles situation?
Well, Ty, they could finish 30th with or without those guys. I mean, you're talking about guys who are on a 30th ranked defense. Like, I think Philly did a tremendous job. First of all, if you're a new head coach, you want to start from ground zero. So you don't want to try to patch it together this year to finish 8-8 and then retread next year. Now you're looking to lose your job. If you break it down now, they did a great job. They got rid of DeMarco Murray's big mouth because he was a part of the problem last year. I'm not getting the ball, this and that. You know what? Keep your mouth shut. You wanted your money. You got your money. You could have stayed in Dallas for less. So I don't want to hear you. You didn't go to a place that fit you. It wasn't the right system. But you wanted your money, so you went and got it. I mean, the fact that they got anything for him is amazing to me. I mean, I don't know who would take them or give him a draft pick for him. I mean, I guess he's got something left in the tank, but the way salaries are structured nowadays, I don't understand what that move was. I mean, they probably would have cut him anyway. But they got some picks. They got rid of some dead weight. I mean, like I said, they can finish 30th on defense with or without those guys. They're going to get some draft picks. They're going to start from ground zero. If they have a rough year this year, the fans let them live with it, and they just want to see hope for the future the year after. So, you know, they did all the right things. They got the cap space. They got the picks. They got rid of some dead weight. So I think Philly did a good job. Will they be good next year? No. But it's not for next year. It's for the year after that. Who knows? They finish bad next year. They pick at the top of the draft. Maybe they get that franchise quarterback. So I think Philly did a great job. I'm glad that they're not going to compete with the Giants in the division next year, because they really have no shot with what they've done and with Sam Bradford at quarterback. But, you know, all things considered, I think Philly made out in everything they did this week.
Okay, so
everyone
so
in that division is competing.
If we're looking at this as a this is a project that you're saying, right, Mike?
Yes, I mean they're. I mean, at best, what are
okay.
they? They're not. They're not a contender. They're not a playoff contender. So, I mean,
okay.
you're looking at you got a new head coach in there. You're looking at 2 or 3 years down the line right now.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I'm looking at, like long term wise. But even if you're going to sit there and say that Philly's going to be fair, they aren't. You know the Philly fans are going to expect to try and win every week, even though they know that their team probably might not be the best product out there. And this is what they're giving themselves right now. And just like if they go into the draft and pick up a stud out of the draft, he's not going to pan out to be thorough until probably year two, year three, just like you're saying. I think that this is going to be a project where we have guys that are here saying that this is the situation where they're going to make this happen on the fly, which I think that on the fly, I want to give Chandler 1 to 2 years when he says that. I don't want to say now. I really don't feel like that's fair. I really don't even want to put him in that ballpark. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. This is me. Like I said, I could be in the middle of November if Philly can be in a situation where they're 7-3. You know what I'm saying? In the middle of November, and I could be like, you know, I was wrong as a mug. Like, they're playing good football. But right now, with everything that's going on, not consistent quarterback play, you got one of the more injury-prone quarterbacks. You don't know how that running back, the backfield is going to look. Who is your number one receiver? Who name the number one receiver right now?
Ty, you're right, Ty, but you got to look at it. Ty, expectations are really low right now for them. So if they are 7-3, I mean, the fans are going to be ecstatic. It shows that they have direction.
Right.
That's all they're looking for this year. They're looking at they show some positives. They have some direction. They're looking up. I don't honestly don't think they want to finish good next year. I think they need to get that franchise quarterback. The only way to do that is to have a bad year and hope that you're there on the
and
right
the
year.
Other,
and
with the other answer.
I'm sorry. Let's not forget, you. I know Ty was asking who's that guy on defense. They're clearing up cap space, and free agency just started. It hasn't even started yet. Free agency tampering
exactly.
has just started. So there's enough time, you know, maybe that, you know, we're saying they're doing the right thing. If they go get that one key cog and get one big signing on defense, and they use a lot of signings to fix up this defense or however they want to go in the draft, it's going to be interesting to see. So I just have to say that it's free agency's not over yet, so we don't know exactly how this defense looks. We're still in March. You're asking for them to produce players, and it's March. So let's get to at least June and July before we start saying who's this, who's that, and start, you know, going. The season just ended, you know, a month ago. You know, so let's cool down on, you know, getting who's this and where's this guy going. Because we still got time for them to try to address those issues and then address them in the draft as well.
The reason why
exactly
I'm doing that, who's this?
Hold on.
The reason why I'm doing that, who's this, who's that? What free agent wants to go to Philly right now?
Whatever one wants to get money.
Free agent
like,
that wants money.
Yeah,
a lot.
Like
a lot of free agents
like,
go to
know,
Philly.
Like money's not going to help.
Okay, and they're losing?
We've seen,
and
you,
losing?
You say that, and people still sign with Cleveland, and people still sign with Jacksonville, and people still sign with Tennessee. DeMarco just went to Tennessee. Like, you act like people are, especially because the team's bad, no one wants to go there. People are still going to go there if they want to get paid.
No, DeMarco didn't go
there.
NFL, he traded in there.
To grab the money.
DeMarco got traded there.
People are coming to the Jets. I mean, guys are going to go where they can get paid.
Yeah.
Okay,
exactly.
But the Jets got the defense. Hold on. But the Jets got the defense. They got something that they can do.
They're still not a winning team. They still haven't made the playoffs. If you're not making the playoffs, you're a losing team. I don't care what the record says. So,
hold on.
At the end of the day,
They did not have a shot last year.
They had Ryan Fitzpatrick quarterback, and I told you we wouldn't make the damn playoffs with Ryan Fitzpatrick. We did.
That game came down to game 17. Week 17. Y'all didn't have a
shot.
Make
the
playoffs,
y'all didn't make the playoffs. Did we make the playoffs?
In comparison to what Philly is bringing to the table, y'all was close with Fitzpatrick. Who would ever think Fitzpatrick's name could be mentioned as a quarterback in the playoffs?
Because the point you're missing right now is this. Philly has money, they have draft picks, and they have a coach that guys actually would want to play for. So, yes, they
and
don't
no
get some free agents.
And no
yes,
expectations.
Okay. No, go ahead.
I mean,
go
Ty,
ahead.
This absolutely puts them into the running. I mean, Philly is
actually any team in the league other than I'd make the argument for Jacksonville, but even Jacksonville, I mean, the NFL is set up in a way these guys can get cut and get paid nothing. These guys want money. If you're going to give them money, they'll come. And so when you're asking who's the best, who's their number one wideout, the answer is they just freed up $40 million and or $35 million and just got 4 to 5 draft picks. So, I mean, the best, their number one wideout, their number one cornerback might not be on the team now. But, I mean, this is an actual question. Would you rather be paying Byron Maxwell, Kiko Alonso, and Murray a combined $35 million of your, what, $110 million cap? Or have nothing? Like, I mean, like, let's say they didn't even get draft picks. Like, I think you could make the argument you'd rather have nothing than be paying those guys 35 out of your 110 mil, 120 mil. I mean, that's why I think they made out well.
Yep.
Okay. I say it like this. I agree with you to that standpoint. But there's no promise on what they're going to see out of this draft. There's no promise out of the free agency market on which one of these players want to go there. I understand that everybody that's in the league is money hungry. Everybody. Unless it was Michael Jordan playing football, everybody looking for dough. Ain't nobody been up there signing a contract for $100,000 unless this is their alignment. Like, let's be real. Everybody looking for money. But if they had to choose, okay, and I'll put it in front, and I don't want to just like say it to nothing, but if they had to choose Philadelphia or Green Bay, because Green Bay missed the pieces defensively, right? Where are they going to go?
It depends on how much money's on the table.
It makes it okay now if
you're talking about a free agent and they've never played for either place, you know, money comes into factor. Yeah, you want to win, but if Green Bay's offering you a lot less money, it doesn't matter who it is. If it's the Patriots and they're offering you a lot less money and Philly's offering you a lot more, then, you know, money's money at the end of the day. We've seen so many players pass up on money. It's very few that you see a Randall Cobb pass up on 6 or 7 offers that were worth more than what Green Bay was giving him, so he stayed. That's very few and far between that you see players like that. So that's why I think money has more to do with – money's more to do than the wins for the players, in my opinion.
Especially in football because of the non-guaranteed contracts.
In football, the only real cold hard fact is that when you're not good anymore, they're going to cut you and not pay you a dime. So – you got to get your money in the and it's not like an NBA career or an MLB career that can last 12, 13, 14 years. I mean, yeah, some quarterbacks, but most of these guys, I mean, like the shelf life of a running back is like 6 years at this point. They have to get their money. That's the shelf life of a lot of these guys in these leagues. I mean, it's they have to get their money and they need to get it now, not tomorrow.
Okay, well. We'll hang on to this. I mean, anything else away in this topic before we get away from it? I'm going to just say it like this. I'll see y'all in November on this topic. That's what I'm saying. I'll say I'll see y'all week 11, because the bye week will go by. Week 11, it will revisit the Eagles' record. And that's what I want to wait. Week 11, see how they are. They're 500. I'll let y'all talk, man.
Go ahead.
I don't do that. Don't get mad because you're doing it to me. You know what I'm saying? If they're under 500 or 500, see what I'm saying? See how they play? If they're under 500 or 500, then I'll be up here soapboxing. If they're over 500, the people in Philadelphia and the four of you have something to talk about.
But Ty, if they're anything above, say, 2 games under 500, they're still going to be in contention for the division at week 11. They could be 5, week 11. They could be 4-6, and they'll still have a chance to win that division week 10 or 11.
I don't think
that's the problem.
I don't think the NFC needs to go look that bad.
Yeah, it is. What's changed?
You're going to get a full season of these guys healthy. At least it's going to bounce back. At least on $60
million in cash. You can put your money on that? You going to put your money on that?
We can talk outside of Sports City.
All the players are going to get 16 games straight.
Put it this way. I'll make it even better of the situation. I guarantee the Giants have a better record than the Eagles, and the Giants ain't even figured their situation out yet. And we can talk about it. I didn't even mean to shut you down like that, but I guarantee the Giants will shut their shit down. I'm sorry, Sports City. Didn't mean to
hurt. Oh, can we take that? Can we take that?
Ty, you might not want to make that bet.
I said that.
You see that Giants defense and they getting worse and you want
to... No problem. You go over rookies. You go over rookies. Who coming out of college right now is like probably on the charts right now, defensively.
Who do the Giants have?
How many games did the Giants win last year, Ty? Six, right?
6-10
Okay.
They went back to back.
Okay.
How many did Philly win?
What, 6 or 7?
They didn't win 7.
Okay.
Okay.
So basically, you're saying two bad teams, and we're sitting there arguing over which of the teams is going to be less bad. Seriously?
I see what McAdoo can do.
Yes.
I see what he can do.
Okay, but you see what he can do on offense. What about the defense, Ty?
Well, I'm sorry. What did he do on offense? Because all I saw was a bunch of passes to Odell. They're running a 4-running-back system and can't even get it right. They have no tight ends to speak of. They got very little offensive line help. Their old tackle, the one they drafted number 10 overall last year, was dead last in tackles. They can't keep anyone there. So their offense isn't really that good either. They got Odell Beckham, and that's it.
I thought Donnell was doing all right at the tight end position. No, I mean, he wasn't doing work on Mike at all?
No.
He was dropping passes at the worst time. Don't give me Larry Donnell, please. Come on, man.
And they turned like Victor Cruz out the door.
He's a younger version of Brandon.
The Giants defense will be revamped this year, guys.
Yeah, it will. That's what I'm saying. I think the Giants defense is going to be better. What I keep saying is, in this division, okay, I don't believe there's anybody who thinks that the division winner in the East is going to win more than 9 games. As these teams are currently constructed, as they right now at this moment, not one of these teams is better than 9-7. Not one of them.
Dallas 9?
So, no, Dallas is not better than 9-7. It's currently constructed. Absolutely not. No, they're not. Remember, they got no running game, remember?
That defense is going to lose them 9 games alone.
They got no defense. I mean, they got no running back. You got Hardy's going
DMC,
over.
DMC has a full season. It's not an interesting running back for them.
When is he going to have a play a full season?
Oh, my God.
You know what? Oh, wow. My head's about to explode.
All right.
Wait.
Compared to the game that he was missing in Oakland, compared to this year, he was missing like 6 games in Oakland in the season.
How they running?
He wasn't a battle out here. Wasn't he splitting a whole bunch of time? Wasn't he third on the roster some game? When he was in Oakland, he was never below 2, unless he was injured.
You can't make the argument that Bradford is injury prone, and then use DMC as a reason that Dallas is going to win games. I mean, he's
No. You're hearing what you want to hear. He said running game. I didn't say that DMC was going to be the reason they win games. He said running game. I didn't say that's the reason they're winning games. No. They still have a passing attack that people have to figure out. They still have to figure out that passing attack. They have a legit 4 that go off the passes every play. Beasley underneath, you got Williams, Dez, and Witten.
Who's going to throw him the ball for 6 games?
That's the only if in that whole card is Romo staying healthy. That's the only if.
That's every single
if he's healthy, they get 10 wins. If Romo's out, they get 10 wins on the season.
Not with no running game.
All right. So now we got, two topics.
Maybe. I give you. I'm not going to. I mean, the NFC East is so weird and so bad that, like, I'm not going to sit here and tell you there's no chance that Dallas doesn't get 10 wins. But, like, to try and predict, you got a better luck predicting my future than you have deciding who's going to be good in the NFC East or if someone's going to manage. I mean, you could tell me that someone won the NFC East with a 5-11 record and it wouldn't stun me. It would stun me just as much as if, like, who knows with this division? It's terrible from top to bottom. You got
the best
quarterbacks that are made out of glass. You got Kirk Cousins, who's a – I cannot imagine that guy getting better than he was last year. That has one hit wonder written all over it. And then you got the Giants, who I don't even know how to analyze Eli Manning anymore. But even if you assume he's going to have his best season possible, they still have so many holes on that team that, like, I don't know how you predict any of these teams.
And you're right. And Dallas, to me, get back to the Dallas point, that defense – you know, we talk about the offense a lot and, you know, if they can just throw it up and if Dez can actually hold on to the ball, then they'll get a lot of points. But the problem is that defense is going to give up a lot of points. You're going to watch the you know, as much as we hate the man personally, you're going to watch the guy, Greg Hardy, who is putting a lot of pressure on quarterbacks and at least doing something. You've got all your corners are gone. You've got no safeties. You've got very little linebacker help whatsoever. You don't know if Randy Gregory or Sean Lee are going to be healthy for any sort of 9 games at all. So that defense is going to give up 24, 28 points a game. So that you're expecting an offense that will probably have no run game, who has a very good O-line, to just throw the ball up. And of course, when you go against a team that's going to put up 14 quick points against your horrendous defense more often than not, you're going to have to go away from that run game. And of course, that's not their strong suit. What's their strong suit? 400 rushes a year, depleting Tony Romo's pass attempts, and winning 12 games and winning the division. That was the route to a win. Next year, they can't do that.
And if the Eagles bring in Matt Forte, right, Mohamed Sanu, and Marvin Jones on offense, and they go and get, say, a Charles Johnson. There's a couple of corners out there. They go get the linebacker from Cleveland. You could see that team winning that game. If the quarterback stays healthy, and depending on who they sign as a backup quarterback. And we can say the same thing for the Giants. If the Giants go out and get, say, a Marvin Jones, to go alongside Odell Beckham and hopefully Victor Cruz, okay, and if they can sign, say, Charles Jones and maybe a James Laurinaitis, okay, then right now you look at that team and say, okay, I can give them 8 games. It depends on who these people bring in. So right now, again, as these teams are currently constructed, they all stink.
And Ty, I got a question for you, Ty. They're not trying to be facetious or anything, but out of these 4 defenses, and I guess for everyone, who do you trust the most? Honestly, just break down all the defenses, and you can't really trust any of them worth a dang. None of them have a pass rusher. None of them have a corner. None of them have a stout linebacker. On all 3 levels of defense, they have no one. You can't name one on any team.
Out of the situation that's presented right now, out of all 4 of them, out of the defenses, I'm going with that without all 4 of them. I'm not worried about the Redskins defense other than Kerrigan, but to be honest, the Giants, they have to show themselves in Philadelphia. I mean, they're in the 30s, too. I'm going with Dallas. Even though you don't know what's going to happen with the Harden situation, looks like he's more or less on the outside looking in. You know what I'm saying? They still got Crawford and those guys still apart. They still got an interest in front. And by the way you're talking about this offensive line, they are one of the top 5 offensive lines in the league right now. And by which, all of y'all just sat here and talked about DMC. They played a full season. Guess how many games he played this year?
I mean,
16. He played 16. He wasn't hurt at all.
Really?
He played 16.
Yes,
he did.
Really? How many yards did he get?
DMC played 16.
He got 1,000 yards. He got 1,000 yards.
DMC played 16 games. So now, before y'all
did they make the playoffs? Did they make the playoffs?
He didn't play 16 games. No, yeah, so yeah, he got an offensive line, and he's comfortable, and he's at home.
Hey, I don't know.
And how many games did they win?
How many
games did they win?
They won 4. How many games did Rondo hit for?
They won four games.
And how many games was it?
They won four games. Okay, but if he was such an impact guy, like you're trying to make him out to be, then they should have been able to win some games strictly on the strength of their running game, and they couldn't. They couldn't.
Yeah. He came out of the game.
They were winning, and they lost once they lost them, and it was over from there. It was over from there. Look, even the Bengals that they had lost their job, Brandon Whedon, they sent Pocket. There's no hope behind them. Kellen Moore, I know what you're talking about. I can tell you all about Kellen Moore. Do you want to know about Kellen Moore?
We know you got a man crush on Darren McFadden. We know you got a man crush on him, but stop with trying to act like he's some kind of impact player.
I like the way he runs the ball. He's tough. If he's healthy, he's tough. I can't really say he's tough. If he's healthy, he's tough. Look what he's doing. He did all right.
And if frogs had wings, they would bump their ass every time they jump. But they don't.
Okay, no problem.
Even if I give you the argument, which I'm willing to do, I'm willing to give you the benefit of the doubt and say that Dallas could be the best out of those four defenses. The problem is you're trying to make the argument they're going to win 10 games, and picking the best defenses out of those four, it's basically four pieces of crap on the ground. You're like, that one smells the worst. I'll take that. I mean, this is not . You can't make – maybe you make the argument they're going
to
win 8 games.
He told me to pick out of the four. No. He told me to pick out of the four. He told me to pick out of the four.
I give you eight games. I think the Dallas could win 8 if Romo stays healthy. If Romo stays fully healthy and every single one of their players plays – their best season they could have, I'll give you 10, 11 wins. But Romo's 37 right now, coming off seemingly his, fourth season-ending injury. At some point, you stop healing. And I think this might be the season it happens. I mean, the guy gets injured every year, and it's different every year.
He's 35. He'll be 36 in April. They also get Sean Lee back on that defense, too. Just to throw that to you. Just throw that to you. And both
Sean
of them
Lee back
to stay healthy.
Sean Lee, who can't stay healthy.
They got him back last year.
Yeah, and they got him back the year before that, too. He just keeps coming back, but he doesn't stay.
Okay, a torn ACL. Everybody's leaving off of a torn ACL. I don't care what you're talking about.
We just killed Kiko Alonso. We just killed the Dolphins for getting Kiko Alonso,
Kiko,
who can't stay healthy.
Kiko got brought in.
Wait.
Kiko Alonso's difference between Sean Lee is Sean Lee didn't get moved for anybody. Kiko Alonso got moved for Shady McCoy. You tell me what difference did that make?
What difference did Sean Lee make?
Zorley and Matt Roper? Look, we're going to go back and forth like crazy. I just know this. November, we got two teams to watch. Well, we're going to be watching all of them. But we got two teams to watch. The Dallas Cowboys and the Philadelphia Eagles. Right or wrong. No, because we're going to go back and forth all day long. I know that. Dallas and Philly. I just want to see how it looks. That's it. That's all I want. Now, we got the news of the day that we were all saying, hey, I know, I got to. We had an interesting conversation. We had to end the show anyway, chill out. Okay, so Omaha. So Peyton puts him up, final audible called, interesting career. And we actually sat here yesterday and said, we'll believe it when it goes down. So it went down. I don't even want to say no more of your best Peyton Manning thought or how his career went down. What's next for Peyton Manning? Does he get an exec job? Does he get away from the game kind of like his father did and, let Eli do his thing? Does he go to college? Go to University of Tennessee, try to help out down there. I want to know how you guys feel about what is next for Peyton Manning. Nacho, I'll let you set this one off first.
I don't really care, no,
to be honest. We all anticipate a job in most likely will be someone's front office, you know, or maybe, you know, forever spokesperson of Allstate. I don't know. I don't really care, to be honest. He can do whatever he wants after football. You know, I don't have an invested interest in necessarily what he does. If it's going to be one of the best or you know, greatest. It is, you know, going to be interesting to see, though, you know, if a team, if the team route is the way to go for him, if he does that, where he ends up going. But to me, it really is irrelevant unless he has something to do with the Packers. I really don't, you know, care where he does after football. You know, farewell pretty much.
Anything else that you'd like to say about Peyton Manning before I get away from you?
I don't know. It was a great career to watch. If you like losing in clutch moments, you know, and if it wasn't for Rex Grossman, he'd have won his whole career. Other than that, man, you know, good riddance.
Okay, Tom, your thoughts on Peyton Manning, the retirement, and what's next for Peyton Manning?
Yeah, you know, Peyton's career was always pretty fun to watch. I think, look, as much trouble as we give him for losing in the clutch, I think that if there's any indication of how good that Peyton Manning was, just look at the year he got hurt and the Colts went, 1-15? I mean, he was, you know, it was basically him, Freeney, and Mathis, and like Harrison and Wayne, dragging teams to 13 win seasons almost every single year. I mean, say what you will about the guy. There's a lot of arguments you can make that, you know, against the guy, but it was enjoyable to watch every single year there for a while. I mean, you knew that guy was going to be good. What is he going to do next? I could see him being an executive. I doubt if he coaches. I think we talked about this last year, but it was an excellent career. It's still stunning to me that he eked another Super Bowl out, but, you know, it is what it is. I think the guy was amazing. He really was. It's hard to make an argument he wasn't one of the best quarterbacks of all time. Well, probably top three, I would say.
Okay, Chandler, I know you just huffed and puffed at it.
You know I did.
I don't even know how to address this question to you. Do I get close out the plug with everybody, or do I let you speak?
Man, you ain't let Mikey go. Let Mikey go, man, and then I'll finish.
Mike up and left. Mike up and left during the Cowboys couple. Once that went down, he was.
Yeah. Listen, man, I never cared for Peyton Manning. The things that I knew about him and the things that people now just find out about him, I'm not trying to hear he's okay for me. And I'll just say for me, he's not even in my top 10. He's not in my top 10. He's a very talented guy. In his era, he would be a top three quarterback for me all time. He wouldn't be. He's gone. I'm not going to miss him. I think there's other people to talk about and other things to talk about in football, and I'm sick of hearing about him, to be quite honest with you. Sick of hearing about him, sick of hearing about his father, who was a loser in quarterback, but somehow he's supposed to be somebody great. I'm sick of the whole Manning family, I'll be honest with you. I'm sick of all of them.
Somebody buy him some NyQuil or some Pepto-Bismol or something. get him right. Okay. We are at the tail end of the show. I need plugs and closeouts from each of you.
We're not going to talk Brock?
Excuse me?
We're not going to talk Brock.
Osweiler, I'll save that for the cookout tomorrow. Look, that's domestic disputes. We cook tomorrow on Osweiler. This is more information around Denver anyway. So that's good. Y'all ain't gonna have me going back and forth with all of y'all again. I'll save it for the cookout. I need plugs and closeouts from each of you. Nacho, I'll let you set it off first.
You know, at Nacho on the Box, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Great show. Thanks to everyone. listening to me, and you know, it's just going to be interesting the next couple of days. You know, the legal tampering, and then of course the free agency starts. You've got tons of teams with tons of money. You know, I think it's the Jaguars and Raiders and Giants all sitting around $60 million. A couple of them right down there, 55, and there's just a lot of teams with a lot of money, and majority of them have, you know, well, you know, we could say they have a quarterback. I won't say superstar or legit or whatever, but they have a quarterback locked in there. So a lot of those guys are going to have lots of free money to spend in lots of places. Let's just see if they do it. You know, and then you've got teams that don't necessarily spend in free agency talking about you never know and surprise things. So, you know, big names going different places, especially with cutting, trading today that was, you know, unforeseen. I'm just really interested because now that you know, so it seems to me that a lot of teams are realizing the mistake that they made with signing a lot of these players. Philly today made a huge statement with the wrong signings that they did and getting rid of those guys today and clearing up cash space. That's one of the signs that I like to see, that I hope a lot of teams realize that they made bad signings. A lot of money dumped into a lot of the wrong people and wrong places. Maybe they're wrong fits or they're just, you know, injury prone and don't make sense. But I think Philly starts a trend today with the way that they dump players just for draft picks, especially with the Miami situation. It was two players for a bunch of draft picks. So I'm definitely going to be interested to see what other teams with other players are going to be potentially getting rid of and things of that nature. Again, with a lot of quarterbacks, the RG3s, the Colin Kaepernick, so much to see. So just exciting, you know, and to know that we're, you know, that much closer to draft and that much closer to the Hall of Fame game and then the regular season. It just makes me even more excited. Football never ends, you know. Again, I am excited, though, with being in the city that I live in, being as close as I am to, you know, what is it, 10 to 15, almost 20 different ball games, teams, different baseball events. Spring training is just so awesome out here. I'm getting to see a lot of different teams and get to know a lot of different players, which for me in baseball, as you all well know, I'm not the greatest guy in knowing everything, but just being able to see that and see these guys and everything, and then actually going to see Greinke opening day for my Diamondbacks, it's going to be fun. I'm excited. One quick thing, all you NFL players, stay the hell out of Scottsdale. For the life of you, if you could just get a map, find Scottsdale, Arizona, circle it, and say never go there. It is a wasteland for arrests and suspensions. Stay the hell away from Scottsdale, Arizona, every NFL player, even if you're retired. Just stay away from it. It's a death trap. Other than that, man, y'all have a great night.
Okay, Tom, thank you for stopping by. Give me a plug, close out, shout out, and we shut it down at the wrap-up.
The Lakers beat the Golden State Warriors. That was pretty unexpected. And then my only other thing from the weekend was Holly Holm loses, Conor McGregor loses. That equals UFC losing a whole bunch of money. You got a big rematch that was going to be. It's now I don't know why even have it at this point. It's been just. UFC had a horrible weekend after a very good 2015. So I'll be curious to see the fallout from all that. Other than that, enjoyed the show. Thanks for having me, guys.
Whoa. Before you go.
Yeah.
If Vegas wasn't in the middle of Los Angeles, I don't know what was. That's one. And two, I just said this on the show yesterday. You might have to listen to the download, but if you don't think Dana White is rubbing his hands together and waiting for the money kickback that he's going to see while Ronda Rousey gets back on top of the UFC, you got another thing coming. And if Conor lost, Conor still kept his belt. He didn't lose his belt. Conor's still on top of his division. They ain't knocking him off. He's still relevant. Look, Dana White still has a good sport and product in front of him. There is no hurt to him. Nor the pocket of the Ultimate Fighting Championship. None of that.
Well, they went from, the only thing I'll say onto that is you're right, but they did go from a slam dunk rematch of Rousey versus Holm that was going to make them a boatload of money. And I do think that match got hurt a bit. I mean, with Holm losing, it'd be hard to say that. I don't know why they let her fight anyone before she fought Rousey again. I don't get that decision. There's no upside to her fighting anyone else. She should have gone right back into a Rousey a rematch, even if she had to not fight anyone for 6 months. So I do think they lost some money on that fight.
Well, you already know the setup. Misha Tate, Ronda Rousey, more than likely, we all know we should win that fight, and then that rematch is right there. Ronda wasn't going to fight till July. Just to let you know, she was not going to fight until July. So that might have been an extreme layoff for a champion. And no champion I know in any UFC is sitting out for 7 months. They're fighting, so she had to.
Yeah.
Chandler, you know what to do right about this time. Excellent stuff, brother.
Well, Ryan Fitzpatrick is probably not going to be a Jet. Thank you, God, because he wants so much money. Trey Mason joins the list of idiots by getting arrested.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. He's a cookout topic. He's a cookout topic tomorrow. Yes, he is. Oh, my God.
And just want to shout out my nephew, man. He's doing his thing, music and clothes. Jay Schick is his homie says, clothing website. Hold on a second. I got to get it right. Yeah, jshickmusic.com is going to be his website. He's doing music. I'm going to be doing some clothes and stuff. He's sending me a little care package, so I'll post some pictures on Twitter when I get it. Other than that, man, I'm loopy, man, because I'm on a lot of drugs now because of my back pain. But, man, look. Baseball, damn it. That's what I'm trying to say. Baseball. Baseball is back, and baseball has been a bad boot to me.
Look, Sports City, he just an hour ago, right, Sports City, just an hour ago, he was picking on Sharapova and all the drugs she taking, and now look at him. He telling people he's taking drugs. SportsCity7.com, check out the website, the interviews, the blogs, the chefs. We'll be back here at the cookout. The grill will be roasting. Trey Mason, I had high hopes for you. I ain't even gonna lie. You know, I'm still a De La Soul fan. I followed your father since I was a kid. And this is what you do. This is what you do, man. And you could have been the 1-2 punch, you and girl. You're like, I don't know. I don't even want to talk you out of the league just yet, but I know they're watching you closely, man. Especially with your name. Your name is big already, man. I just don't know how these people mess with stuff. Brock Osweiler, we got a lot of stuff for the grill tomorrow. The grill should be loaded, man. You already know, man. Get back here tomorrow. On that note, tell a friend that it's the chef again. And if they don't know, now they know.
Your mom.